What is up, sexy people of the internet? It is Dave, it is Duncan, back from Metal Epidemic for another album review. And for this review, Duncan and I have been checking out the new album from Texas-based multi-instrumentalist Ghost. Ghost's new album, Prophecy, will be released on March 8th via Metal Blade Records. So, the king of slasher wave, James Lawler, has returned for his sixth album, Prophecy. It is a record that perfectly reflects the horror and grim anxieties of a world beset with religious and political overreach and progress being rolled back to the fucking 1950s.
I mean, that's what that's... So, 2024 then, aye?
Yeah. It's about an imaginative fall of the Western civilization, the biblical end of the world, the rise of Satan and Armageddon, says James. In America, there's been a big rise of scared, reactive Christianity again, and almost like a re-emergence of the satanic panic. So it felt like an appropriate time to bring Satan back into things.
Hi there, Satan's the name. Fucking shit up is my game.
Recorded alone in Texas during a burst of creativity at the end of 2022.
Oof. Oh,
right.
I'll tell it now.
This is a
Happy New Year.
This has been in the chamber for a while, Duncan.
Yeah.
I can't put a song down once I start it. I'm too OCD. I have to finish it. Prophecy is the perfect vessel for such things. If people listen to my music at a rave, they would have a bad fucking trip, laughs James. But it's a fun challenge to try and make metal with digital noises. I love processing on a computer and electronic equipment and trying to make it sound raw. It's a unique challenge because everything in there is clean and you're using a plug-in distortion and things like that. It's just a whole different realm than using pedals and amps and shit. So, the new Ghost album. We were always going to be excited to check out the new Ghost album.
We've been on the Ghost train for a while now, I think.
Yes.
Over a decade.
Yes, absolutely. And I think one of the most exciting things, I think, is... Like, even though you know you're getting a Ghost album, you don't really know what type of Ghost album you're going
He's
to get.
He's the Madonna of synthwave.
Yeah.
Constantly reinventing himself.
Yeah.
I should have went with something a bit more in this kind of bubble. He's the David Bowie of synthwave. Constantly reinventing himself.
Or the Beyonce, even.
He is the Beyonce of synthwave. Constantly reinventing himself.
The last release we reviewed on the channel, it went down a more... slightly more experimental route for him, slightly more melodic touches, clean vocals. But I kind of had a feeling like we wouldn't get a rerun of that album this time around.
Well, his previous album was like getting fingered in a goth nightclub. Just pure ecstasy. And shame, lots of shame. So much shame.
And also now he's signed to Metal Blade Records.
Some of this, he keeps leveling up, which I enjoy because I think he rises to the challenge of whatever label puts him on. So this one, feels very fitting for a Metal Blade release because of the heavier elements that come out in the wash with this one.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels this is a nice fit.
Yeah. So what do we make of Prophecy by Ghost? Duncan, what do you make of this one?
So we came off the previous album with not a full album of vocal driven tracks.
Yeah.
But there was a predominance. There was there was more than 50% of the album featured vocals.
Mm-hmm.
And it did see him kind of experiment with more kind of aggro stuff, but actual more singing more than anything, which was kind of what caught us on the back foot.
Yeah.
Like yourself, I kind of thought we would get something different. I didn't realize he would step as much back from the vocals as he has here.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was actually thinking about if you're him and you're composing a set list.
Mm-hmm.
You've now got plenty of songs with vocals that you can put in your set list and have a ton of instrumental shit to play around being, be very experimental and throw yourself into that. So actually, even only having, I think it's three or four on this album that have kind of lead vocals, so to speak, actually works really well, because you take one of the tracks from this, you couple it from the other one, you play a set of, what, 10, 12 songs. This is how my brain works, ladies and gents. 10 or 12 songs, a quarter of your set has vocals, the rest doesn't. You can keep doing that moving forward, almost in perpetuity, and you will always have enough material to kind of lean into. The cool thing about Ghost in 2024 is that he still has at his core like a very very aggressive, punchy attitude towards the percussion in his music. It is like, it's always right fucking there all the way right through. But what I love about this one more is there are much more influences of the Carpenter Brut variety, certainly swaths of John Carpenter through this one, which I really, John Carpenter is one of the forefathers of modern synthwave, so to see those elements carry through, it's really cool. And it comes out in a variety of different fashions. When you listen to a track like Prophecy, for example, or even Death and Bloom, what you get on those tracks, and even Deceiver, the first, like basically the first three proper songs in this one, you get sections where modern sims give way to very retro kind of 80s synthy sims. The genius of what he does is it never feels like you lack something in the choice of the sim. If actually anything, he juxtaposes them really, really well together, in that they become almost homogenous in the sim. Sim technology has went so far, like computer technology is now mental when it comes to crafting songs. You don't even need to be able to play a keyboard now to write synthwave. You know, you just, like, you can throw patches in, augment dials, fling a beat underneath it, and then guess what? You're a synthwave artist. But when I listen to his stuff, there's always an attention to detail and the layers, the techniques, and the delivery in all his songwriting. A great example of that, of the kind of mixing of different styles and kind of meshing them in, is Obituary, which, like, has swaths of black metal in it. But that black metal is underpinned by, like, 80s fucking dance floor Axel Foley shit. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? And it's all the way through it. And it's so cleverly mixed. It shouldn't work, but it's so cleverly mixed. And I get the feeling it's because that attention to detail, that, as he said himself, that OCD element of never really being satisfied with the song until it's done. When you're the guy that's playing everything, that journey can sometimes work against you. You can sometimes overanalyze. Goss somehow manages to walk that line all the way through his songs, to the point that I feel like he's always getting the fullest out of them without that one element that's maybe a little bit too far. And he doesn't, it hasn't lost any of the experimentation that he's brought to his music either. If you listen to Digital Death, which is close to the end of the album, Digital Death is an exercise in basically sound fuckery. It's like, it samples loops, TV clips, and weird static, all kind of tweaked and modulated and kind of pitch shifted, with a beat underneath it. And it works really, really well as a palate cleanser. The interesting thing about the album overall is Prophecy, like, kind of feels like a story told over three chapters. And there's, like, clear defining points of where those change. I would say tracks 1 through 4 is your kind of opening gambit. I would say tracks, so Obituary through to Golgotha is basically your next group, and then Digital Bathroom to Leviathan is your closing chapter. And the tracks actually fit really well within those blocks. For me, the highlight of the album comes in Temple of Tears, which is the longest song. It's the one where I get to feel that we might be seeing in his future a full-on movie score soundtrack. Because this is the one that felt most Carpenter-esque to me. And you could throw this in the background of, like, fucking, like, Escape to Mars or something like that, you know, and it would work. It'd, like, really, 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 really work. I love the mix on this. It is very, very even. It's, like I said before, it's very, very punchy, but the mixing and mastering on it levels everything in a way where, like, even the nuance, even the experimentation is prominent in the mix that you can pick it out. All the stuff he hides in the background, whether it's kind of things that the sounds in the back, they're all there. And with I would say a moderate to expensive pair of headphones, you will pick them out. He's just a great storyteller in music. I feel from the names of the tracks and the way that the tracks are delivered that he is constantly telling like a story around each of these songs, and they carry right through. He likes to deliver things now in a longer form and a shorter form with ease. I kind of feel this is his most confident release in terms of front to back defined sound. I think in the past his previous albums have been, you know, like 90 to 95% completely solid as a rock. But there's always that one track when I'm like, oh, like, it's kind of like, I need to get this out of my system. This one kind of feels like the needing to get out of the system actually fits well within the concept and the sound overall. It finishes super strong. Widow's Song and the Golgotha into Digital Death is a great rounding out of chapter two. But to me, Through the Water into Leviathan is a great finality to this one. Like, it brings it all in. I don't think there's a weak track on this one at all. I think he's actually, the art of creating an album, I think he's now got that. I don't necessarily think it's got as many of the overall highlights of some of his previous releases, but those previous releases had like huge standout tracks and then the rest kind of suffered because of that. So what I would say on this one is I actually think this is probably his most even album to date, and it's a fucking banger. So even though I'm saying it might not contain his best songs he's ever done, it is a collection front to back of fucking great tracks of a guy that's operating at maybe his best level that he's ever done on a label that I hope pushes him to the moon. And it's going to be a great fit. You get like fucking full on discordant black metal vocals and guitar work on this one. You get full on 80s dance floor bangers. You get a little bit of rave, you get a little bit of boogie, a little bit of two step, and it's kind of fucking awesome. And vocally, even these vocals on this one, he doesn't drop the whole goth broody singing thing either. It's in here. It's just he leans more into the aggressive side of his vocals, which turns out he's really good at as well. Very talented person. Not jealous at all. So yeah, I think, like, overall, Prophecy is, if you've never heard Goss before, I think this is a great entry point. I think you're going to get a feel and a vibe, and they can go off and experiment with different flavours of Goss. If you're a fan, this just continues the upward trajectory that he's been on now for over a decade. So yeah, very, 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 very accomplished and very good album.
Nice. I think, like, for me, a lot of this feels like both a kind of return to the Ghost of old, where he's unearthed some of those older sounds and techniques, but also incorporated something of a more kind of raw and industrial kind of metal type edge to it as well, which I can see why he's done that, because he's now on Metal Blade and he's trying to appeal to that kind of fan base. It makes sense. He's also just been on tour with Mayhem as well, so
I mean, that's going to bleed through. You can't, like, the fucking forefathers of industrial metal, so you can't go on tour with them and not just be like, that's kind of a cool idea, that.
Yeah, I mean, like, the black metal is fairly prominent on this one, which also makes sense, being on tour with Mayhem for so long. After the kind of intro of the album, we've got the title track, which for me is like, it's kind of
industrial metal, I mean, blackmail.
Yeah,
my brain's fucked.
Yeah,
you're supposed to correct me on this, otherwise the internet will be like, you don't know what you mean. That's how they type as well with that face.
The title track is very much kind of like old school Ghost in terms of the sounds, but it's also loaded with, like, there's full-on blast beats, there's black metal screams, a really kind of like crunchy kind of digitized kind of metal guitar sound, and I was like, okay, right, this feels like it works for a release on Metal Blade. But it's not long before it gets, you know, very 80s, which is, you know, what Ghost is obviously known for. But the track does end with an almost like metal type breakdown, but in a Ghost type way, which I thought was quite cool. The follow-up track is Death and Bloom, which for me like had some shades of like really, really early Fear Factory, like early 90s, before they did like Demanufacture and stuff. But it's mixed with this like Ministry like industrial kind of abrasiveness and the electronics and the vocals. But then he's mixing that with like bits of breakbeats and that kind of classic 80s synth driven kind of groove. So it's still very much going to appeal to the kind of the fans of early Ghost as well. And then we're moved into Deceiver, which is track four. And I realized that vocally Ghost has approached this album differently to Rites of Love and Reverence, where, you know, it was more about kind of slotting in those like these kind of like kind of hooky choruses. This time he's using the vocals more abrasively and to almost kind of emphasize the heavier parts, because this is very much an album for the fans that followed Ghost from the start. Like guys, like people that listen to like Skull or Behemoth or even Non-Paradiso to an extent. But he's cleverly kind of adapted it to suit his kind of style in 2024 and his link up with Metal Blade as well. Again, I love that a lot of the tracks feel like you're kind of in a movie. There's tracks here that work just as individual tracks, but then tracks like Obituary or Temple of Tears have all the traits of like an 80s horror movie score, which I loved. And those tracks are so well placed. You know, the timing of the changes and the switches are so well done that you can almost picture like a movie scene in your head while you're kind of listening to it. I'm like you. It does make me wonder why we haven't seen him collaborate or even get into scoring movies at this point in his career, because he's clearly got the talent.
He's got all the things. I wonder if it's the when I decide I don't want to tour anymore. Maybe the John Carpenter thing. He went the other way. He made movies and then when he retired, he then went on tour. And there might be a part of him that's the, he could do it. He could do it tomorrow. There's so many avenues, very much like our buddy Remy in The Algorithm. Like, if you want to score like computer games, he's got all the fucking chops there to do it. And if he wants to do movies, he can do that as well. Sure. He obviously has a passion for being in front of a live crowd, and that's what drives him forward. But if I was him, I'd be like with a careful, crafty eye, just looking for the right pitch. And there could be a bit of that as well. It could be that
just waiting on the right thing. Yeah.
There's maybe people not necessarily familiar with his work in that world, but in a second I'd have one of his soundtracks
out with the kind of soundtracky kind of type stuff. Though you've got these tracks that are very much a kind of dipping of the toe into newer waters for Ghost as well. I thought tracks like Decadent Decay are a real kind of stroke of genius on the album, because it totally breaks the album up and stops it from becoming kind of too repetitive. That track is dark, it's heavily 80s in the kind of synth sounds, but also packs that kind of like metal punch at the start and at the end of the track. I love the kind of combination of electronic kind of loop drums with the more kind of like almost kind of like programmed metal drums as well. I thought they did kind of complement each other. And the kind of gothy vocals on the track, which aren't really there as like a chorus, but more to kind of add some kind of gloomier kind of vibes to the track. Through the Water's another track on there that gets more into kind of the metal side of things, almost like a kind of like Pantera-esque kind of riff to it that was kind of driving the track, which was cool. My only kind of like kind of small gripes were, I didn't feel like it was maybe quite as, I don't know, kind of unified as the previous album.
Really?
I felt like the album had a fairly consistent kind of thread running through it that previous album did, whereas this one maybe, I felt like it just kind of jumped around a little bit. It didn't always feel like it was kind of running smoothly from one track to another. And it's possible because you're getting a dose of like old school Ghost on some tracks, and others were leaning more into the kind of metal side of things. And the tracks were cool. Like, don't get me wrong, I think there's tracks on here that are, as you said, are going to really work well within a live set. But when I was listening to the album, I did feel like certain tracks were kind of removing me from the, almost kind of like the continuity of it. Secondly, and this is just a kind of personal preference, I kind of liked the melodic hooks on the last album. I was really into that. I thought it was a really cool mix of Ghost and like catchy melody, where you kind of left the album with like a bunch of kind of really good hooks in your head. This one didn't really kind of deliver that as much.
No, it has no hooks.
No, not that type of album. But sonically though, it's very well produced. He's in a great, like, he has a great understanding of how to deliver these big, like, monstrous kind of waves of dark noise. He's very good at that. And I love the sounds that he's actually picked for the album, from the kind of retro to even the kind of more modern sounds he's used. The kind of groove on I think it's Shelter is absolutely killer. I love that. Absolutely bitching track. But yeah, still a lot that I enjoyed on this. Didn't quite enjoy it as much as the previous one, if I'm honest though. Scores for the new Ghost album. What are you scoring Prophecy?
I'm giving that 4.5. I think this is a great, like, all-rounder for me. I don't have the same issues that you have, but then I did in my review say that to me it felt like three chapters. Like, tracks, like, there's a definite stop point to me, and then the next wave of songs that maybe, well, that second chapter has a lot more black metal going on. First one has a lot more kind of like full-on kind of 80s dance floor things, and the kind of last chapter is experiment with a ton of things, a lot of industrial vibes, so maybe that's, I don't know if that's the kind of leads in to what you're saying, but to me I kind of like that element. I thought kind of rounded out these ideas almost as these kind of longer form concepts. I have an album with like Ollie's melody on it. I think he's very good at it. So I don't know if I wanted another one. I will agree with you. I think you are right. I think this one feels like he's moving back away from something that he can do very well. And there can be a frustration with, oh no, you can, like it's like when, like, you know for a fact a vocalist can sing, and then the next album comes out and they scream at you like that. But you can sing. Like, and they're like, no, this is my screamy album. And you're like, but you can sing though. On this one, he doesn't ever really use his vocals for anything than an additional layer of mood, tone or aggression. Whereas on the previous album, the melody drove a ton of what was there. It's just not the focal feature on this one. That could be a shift on the label. It could be that Mayhem influence that you're talking about, where like, if you go on tour with those guys, you ain't coming back going, well, you had a bed, you know, like, you're not doing that. So yeah, I like, can't remember what I scored the previous one.
I think we were both 4.5s.
So I would give this, I don't think he's lost anything at all for me. I think this is his most consistent release that I've heard. He's on a great label, and I'm curious to see when, because he'll be touring with Metal Blade Artists now. I'm curious to see how that has an impact, because very much like our anyone that's ever toured with Author and Punisher seems to come away with a ba-boom, like, kind of effect in their music afterwards. Be interesting to see how much touring with other metal bands has an impact on his sound. And I look forward to hearing where we go for next. Dude's young. I keep forgetting how young he actually is, and he's a fair few albums into his career now, and really only now just hitting the big leagues album wise in this genre. Where are you coming in? Curious.
Well, it's interesting, like, this, as I said, this one's been done for a while. Like, I read that he'd finished this like over a year ago, and that he was already in the idea phase of the next album. But the next album is going to be shaped depending on how Prophecy does. So it kind of made me think, well, did the last album maybe not do that well, or maybe, you know, fans of him didn't quite enjoy that as much as the old stuff,
because the last album was a shift change. But if you don't like it, then I don't know how you can call yourself a fan of a musician but just want them to release the same album over and over again. I just don't get it. That mentality always boggles the mind. Like you say, there's tons of the old school in here, and he's experimented with loads of new stuff. So, like, you know what? He's on Metal Blade, right? So, can't be doing that bad.
No.
So
true that. Yeah, I think like whatever he does, I think it's always going to be interesting to check out. He's such an interesting character and artist. I think this is another good Ghost album. Just for me, it wasn't quite as good as the last one. So I'm going to go 4 out of 5 on this one.
I could feel a 4 coming from you.
Could you?
Yeah, I could feel you were circling the drain of 4.
Giving off that vibe.
Yeah, you were on the golf course about to hit a very far shot and you were shouting, 4.
Ghost and Prophecy is out on March 8th on Metal Blade Records. Links below to Ghost and to the pre-order. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Happy to hear your thoughts and opinions on it. That is a review. Thanks for checking it out. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.